And when he'd been dead and we'd raised from the dead, the same place. And we read of the plot, we read of the triumphal entry, and all of this took place, of course, as he's entering into the city at this time, at the time of Pesach. And it says this from verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks, Goyim, among those who came up to worship at the feast. God-fearers, possibly. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Yeshua. Philip came and told Andrew. And in turn, Andrew and Philip told Yeshua. And Yeshua answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world, he will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. For if anyone serves me, him my Father will honour. I think it's a fascinating concept here that Yeshua is trying to put across. You suddenly discover here that as Pesach is unfolding, of course the interest of Yeshua being in the city at that time in Yerushalayim was great. And you read here of certain people who were desperate to go and see Yeshua. As you would, I suppose. Imagine, I can't imagine, President Obama or someone arriving in London or that, some kind of really famous, and suddenly the word goes out and everyone goes, we'll cram along the man and we'll see him and we'll push up against the metal fences and so on. And in a sense, it's a similar kind of situation here. Yeshua's reputation had gone up and down the land. Communities, Jewish communities everywhere, talking about this, discussing, who is this man? And now, as he arrives in Yerushalayim, you've got to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. There are many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of Jewish people with the rank and file on the streets at this stage, already at Pesach, know who he is. They know he's Mashiach. So this reason, they will push forward. He says, Sir, we wish to see Yeshua. And you think, of course, most people at that point, whether it be Obama or someone, would say, that's okay, we'll create a photo opportunity. Bring them in, we'll bring the media in, make sure it's filmed, make sure it's all sorted and everyone can see. That's not what Yeshua says. You see, Yeshua does not act as if he's of this world. He starts going into a slightly different direction with, he says, this is all about a grain falling into the ground and dying, producing fruit, and about, hating your life, and so on and so on. He's effectively saying, look, if this is all just about a personality cult with me, so if people are queuing up to see me, just forget it. Because then all you're thinking is I'm just a human being. You're just thinking this is what it is. This is all the reality of it is. You're queuing up, as it were, to get my autograph and my photo. He says, you've missed the point. He said, because I have arrived in this place for a reason and a purpose. And effectively, he says, I have arrived here to die. Which is not what the people want to hear. Because they're expecting him to say, we're going to be glorious. We're now going to take on this and that. We're going to win a glorious victory. We're going to go on to glory. And it's all going to be wonderful for Israel, re-established again as a strong and powerful nation. And he's effectively saying here, no. Actually, no. I'm going to die. And you can't imagine the shock, really, of hearing that. Because what we discover from these actual words when Yeshua said this, that if you understand it in the right way, about loving his life and losing it, hating it and winning it, what we understand in the kingdom of God that Yeshua is trying to get across here, he says it is the opposite to what this world expects. And that's really, really important to get hold of that. This world says to you, become a celebrity, become rich, you've got it all. And Yeshua says, give it all up, stop this, effectively lay your life down, and you will gain it all. Complete mirror opposite of what actually is the reality. And it's this opposite in the kingdom of God to the human view, which is absolutely vital here. And you know, some of the disciples, effectively with Yeshua trying to be a zealot, saying, come on, take them on now, and get the swords out, and we'll go and do this, that, and the other. And Yeshua says, no, not that way. That's the human way. It's the human way is to go into warfare and battle in that way, and to take it on in the physical, and therefore think you've won something and gained some ground. And Yeshua says, actually, no. The way you gain ground is actually to die. You try and get your head around that for a second, how powerful that is. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. And he then goes on to say, and therefore serve me. Serve the one whose template, as it were, that we are copying and imitating. He says, serve me. This is how you are meant to be. And you know, the way of death is the way of humility. Not pride, not ego, not status, not position, not wanting to be accepted here or there or seen by other people in this or that place, position, role, whatever it may be. That is nonsense. That is the world's thinking. And Yeshua said effectively, that has to die. If you want to do it in the kingdom of God, well, you've got to do it the opposite way, and that way is basically to serve Yeshua. To serve him, and to serve him and follow his example, which is the path of humility, and realizing that the way to conquer evil actually is the way to go down, because by going down, you disarm pride. If you disarm pride, you are disarming the enemy. Because pride is his biggest weapon. He's a proud being. And the way to take on Hasatan and the unclean spirits is the path of humility and to go down. And to be never ashamed to go down in that way. That's the true path that wins the victory. It's the opposite of the way this world works. Because the implications for this in terms of self, in terms of your ego, even in terms of the plans you have for your life, all of these things get turned on its head. Because now you belong to God. He says here, serve him. If anyone serves me, then he serves my Father. That's what he says. And we know elsewhere in the Besoda there for Joachim that, you know, he says, me and my Father are one. It's the way it is. This is the path that we have to walk in all of this. Because you see, when something dies, and especially with the grain of wheat concept that you've got here, it's really important. I mean, you can imagine here, it's talking about Pesach here and going into first fruits. They would have understood this whole concept with the grains. This is exactly what we've talked about, which is why it's linked together here in Yochanan. At that particular point, if you think about it, the outside shell, which is just a shell, is cracked open and the germ in the middle begins to grow. In other words, what is it about that act of death which is so important? The external shell that we put up is broken apart, and what is in your heart begins to really come out. And that actually can only happen at that point, effectively, of death. Because as long as we like to think we are alive, then we're going to cling to that outside shell. Because that outside shell gives us protection. It's kind of hard-cased. But Yeshua is saying it's got to go. It's got to go. And right underneath all of this, I think the key to understanding what he's saying here is that God does have a plan for you. But you know, this plan can only be realized if you're willing to walk that path of humility, if you're willing to actually allow the Lord to bring death, as it were, into your life, to your plans, your will, your ego, your pride, you name it, that all these things that begin with your, that dies, and then you begin to see the plan of God in your life. In other words, if we could summarize it, you'd basically say this. You have to be willing to let go. You've got to be willing to let go. Not what you think, not how you want your life to be, where you think you're going to be, how you think you're going to serve the Lord, and whatever this, that, or the other. All those things are what you think. And we've been talking a lot in the last few weeks about the imaginations of men's hearts. And they are powerful. Do not deceive yourself. They are powerful. They get in the way so often of how we think the Lord is speaking to us, talking to us, our plans, our thoughts, our prayers. They are constantly battling for our spiritual attention, the imaginations of our hearts. And you know, actually, you've got to get to a point where you just let go. You have to let go. And that scares the life out of most people. Because to let go effectively from a human perspective feels out of control. Oh, but there you have it. Out of control. Because as human beings, we like control. It's the way we are. If someone says to you they don't like control, they're lying. Every human being likes control. Every human being brings control into their lives in some form or other. No one likes to live in anarchy. It's not a nice way to live. Everyone brings control, order, structure. Everyone does this. But the point is, if we are so busy doing it in our own lives, we're not letting the Lord do it. We have to be willing to let go and allow Him to begin to do this for us. And this connects with one of the other deep messages that we have in the scriptures here. That weakness is strength in the kingdom of God. And again, this runs contrary to everything that human beings will ever tell you. Humanity says, be strong, be the big man, have a big army, have lots of money, run this, run that, be the CEO. That's what the world says to you is success, dominance, and everything else that goes with it. That is what people understand as strength. And Yeshua is saying here, no, the real strength in this world is being weak. Humanly speaking, being weak. Because if you're weak, then guess who can be strong in you? Yeshua can. Yeah, we can say those words. I mean, I can feel it. And, you know, we can sit here and we can nod, we can say yes, but to actually do it in that point is really, really hard. Because to relinquish that element of control and actually before the Lord to say, you know what, I am weak. I have nothing in myself. In fact, often, you know, in prayers, to be able to just say, Lord, I am only human. This is all I am. This is it. Look at me. And when you can get to that place and mean it, and not be putting stuff on the table before Him, you know, I'm only human, but look at this. Look at this. You know, the Lord isn't looking at that. The only thing He's looking at is the humility, whether you're willing to go down and humble yourself. That's what He's looking for. And if you do that, that is the path of weakness. It's the path of death. It's what actually brings success. And the final thought I want to leave you really with this. It's just a very simple message, but it's a final thought to back it up. No one, absolutely no one, is indispensable in the kingdom of God. No one is indispensable in the kingdom of God. You know, we've seen it, you know, ministries and whatever, who become pivotal and whatever, and you know, and almost seem like they have to exist, they can't go. You know what, in God's view, anything can go. He's not interested in keeping stuff alive for keeping stuff alive's sake. He can terminate anything. And He can start it up anew, or He can do something completely different and completely else. No one is indispensable in the kingdom of God. And do not now even just be sitting there and be thinking, oh yes, especially that person, and that one's not indispensable. Oh, and definitely that one's not indispensable. No, I'm talking about you. Me. Each and every one of us. No one is indispensable in the kingdom of God. Because we are all meant to be weak. If we think that we are so important, if we take that view in our lives, that we are that important, that we just have to be there, then guess what's going to happen? The Lord will show you. Because there's only one who is utterly indispensable in the kingdom of God. And who is that? Yeshua. It's not us. It's not us. And we must keep this in our head. It's no coincidence Yeshua brought this word here during His Passover time. He wants us to understand, as we said last night, you know, about Moshe not being in the Haggadah. It wasn't about Moshe. It was about what the Lord did. The angel of the Lord led us out of Egypt. It doesn't say Moshe led us out. It was the angel of the Lord led us out. And we must never forget that when we get wrapped up in what we're doing and we get wrapped up in what the Lord's called us to do and the ministries we've got and this, that and the other, as wonderful as these things are, our eyes drop down from the Lord and drop down onto what we are currently doing and involved in. And suddenly, lo and behold, that puffed up bit begins to come in of the chametz in the life, and we begin to think, thank goodness I'm here. But that's not what the Lord says. Because he wants you to say, Lord, thank goodness you're here. Because without you would be nothing. Because without him, nothing works. We are not indispensable, not one of us, none of us. Doesn't matter what you're called to do, no one is that indispensable in the kingdom. It is all about Yeshua at the end of the day. And if we lose that focus, then we've lost the message of what Pesach and first fruits is all about. Amen. Markino, Father, this is just such a challenge to get our heads around this. Lord, we've heard these words so often about falling into the ground and dying. Lord, we've heard them, we know them, we've memorized them. And yet, Lord God, we've not really internalized them. We've not really grasped the fullness of the meaning of all of this, Lord God. Father, we wrongly, mistakenly, Father, just build ourselves up in our own minds as being so special to you. And Father, at the blink of an eye, we can be gone. Father, no one's that indispensable. Father, I just pray that we'd have the humility, Lord, almost to say those words, there by the grace of God go I. As so many have said who've gone before us, when we realise our own frailty, fragility, how weak sometimes we are even in the face of temptation, Lord God. Father, we sometimes think of ourselves in such a wonderful way. Lord God, I just pray that we will always remember who we are in the sense that who you are and who we are. That we will never lose that perspective, Lord God. Lord, I just pray you'll keep us humble. Keep us humble, Lord God. Keep us humble in the face of what you're doing, Lord. You're doing so many good things, but Lord God, I pray, just keep us humble. Let us never forget that this work is yours. You are the one who will bring revival to Israel, not us. We can do nothing. Moshe did nothing. All he did, Lord God, was be obedient to you. Father, I just pray, let us just be obedient to you and worry about our own little walks with you, our own lives before you, Lord God, that we would be obedient. Lord, have the courage to live those righteous lives before you and let you worry about the rest, however you choose to use us. Lord, just pray, just bring us that position where we are able and free to let go before you. And let you be Lord of our lives, truly Lord of our lives, I pray. Amen.